Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." So Jesus says to these three newly called disciples, "Hey, let's go for a hike." And I don't know if they grumbled like my kids do every time I suggest a hike, or if they were more enthusiastic, but they went up a mountain. Now, I haven't been to the Holy Land. It's on my bucket list someday. But I don't usually think of that area as mountainous, not like the Rocky Mountains in the western U.S., let's say, or anything. And scholars aren't in agreement about what mountain this actually might have been, but many suggest maybe Mount Tabor in the Holy Land, which is 1,800 feet above sea level. So they get to the top, and I presume they're resting because these are fishermen. They've mostly been hanging out around sea level, right? And then you gotta wonder if they think they're seeing things. Like, are we a little dehydrated from this hike? Because Jesus was transfigured before them. He goes from a guy hiking up a mountain to a divine figure, no longer of this world. And as if that isn't enough, Moses and Elijah appear also. They are there in this divine realm talking to Jesus. Peter, remember, he's been an ordinary fisherman. Now, Jesus' hiking companion. He's, I don't know what he's doing, trying to look cool to Jesus or to just go with it. He kind of stumbles on himself, like I presume I would probably do in the same situation, and says to Jesus, "Yeah, it's good we're here. Let's make some houses for the three of you all." What, Peter? I imagine if you were watching this as a TikTok or a YouTube video, this would be the place in the action where the video would kind of spiral down, and the action would stop. No, Peter, divine beings, houses, it doesn't quite work that way. And the gospel writer acknowledges by the next words, "He did not know what to say, for they were terrified." I completely appreciate this honesty. This is more than just an awkward moment. This is an out-of-their-heads moment. More intense fear than all the other times in Mark where it says they were afraid. This is one step further. And then the cloud. And that's where I exhaled when reading this. Jesus becoming divine before their eyes, and then Moses and Elijah also appearing. Jesus is talking to these dead guys who aren't dead. These are things that made my heart race trying to grasp them. But then the cloud. Calm. Peace. At least that was my reaction. Do you have a favorite weather phenomenon? I can say that I do. It's fog. Which is a kind of cloud, right? Well, you know where I grew up in North Dakota, there wasn't a lot of water, certainly not standing water. So fog was more rare. But when I went to college in Brookings, South Dakota, this was an area that there were bogs and small glacial lakes, a town, a population about 20,000. And so just outside the city, Brookings city limits, every now and then, when the conditions were right, we could have quiet, peaceful, mystical fog. I realize not everyone has the same feelings about fog that I do, and fair enough. Depending on the situation, fog can be everything from mildly annoying to terrifying and life-threatening. But here's why I think I love it. I was a runner in college, and that often meant two-a-day runs, the afternoon practice with the whole team together, but the morning was more solitary, on your own, just trying to get some miles in, stretch things out before your first class. So on those foggy mornings, I loved heading to the edge of town to a gravel road that headed into the country to be just enveloped by that fog. I felt blanketed by it, enclosed, and my world became that moment only. One foot after the other, able to see only the road, my feet, and that next stride. See, fog to me acts like a funnel that brings focus to that which is immediately in front of me and holds me there, gently, warmly. The disciples were terrified, and then the fog envelopes them, and from it comes a voice. Everything has stopped except for this moment, and the voice says, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." That's the spot I think I would want to stay, enveloped in the presence of God. There in the moment, the rest of the world was unable to be seen, unable to be heard. And that was a good thing for these disciples. See, the disciples had gone up the mountain with Jesus, wrestling with what they had seen and heard the past 6 days. Jesus and his disciples had been ministering in the villages surrounding Caesarea Philippi, and while underway, Jesus had asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" Variety of answers were given: John the Baptist, Elijah, one of the prophets. But Peter alone responds with, "You are the Messiah." Jesus goes on to tell his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. But Jesus' life wouldn't be the only one in danger. According to him, the disciples must follow in the way of their master. "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." The way of Jesus leads to death, but death with Jesus leads to salvation. No wonder Peter's gut reaction was to stay there in the presence of the transfigured Jesus. The path Jesus has been tipping his hand to, suffering, rejection, death, these are not the things that any of us call a mountaintop experience. But the appearance of the voice of God in a cloud and the words, "This is my son, the beloved," that is a pause moment. Well, the thing we know about fog is that it doesn't last. I remember one particular morning on one of those pleasant foggy runs. It was an out and back run, and when I turned around, I was running toward the rising sun, which also meant it was burning off the fog. Things I hadn't seen on the way out came into view. The rundown, empty old barn on the left, the rusted out pickup truck a little ways down on the right, the top of the campanile, the highest point on our college campus. The world was opening up to me again, and glimpses of hidden things, broken things, were coming back into view. My day ahead, the exams, the papers, and the stress of it started to encroach a bit more when I was no longer enveloped by the fog and the narrowed world it had created for me. The cloud around the disciples vanishes, and they, as they look around, now able to see out, past their own feet and the ground directly beneath them, they see only Jesus, hiking companion Jesus, Jesus who starts walking, heading back down the mountain, back toward those things that would lead to the cross. But they take with them this new vision of who Jesus is. As we approach a full year of living in the midst of a pandemic, I can't help but think about it in the light of the Transfiguration story. COVID came down around us like a heavy fog. As we sheltered in our homes, we were fortunate if they were a place of safety as we stayed in, enclosed and encompassed by our houses. All the activity we had become accustomed to came to a halt for a time, and there we were, our worlds narrowed, not knowing what was coming next or how long it would last. Well, we are hopefully on the path now of emerging out of this time. The fog is burning off. But what have we seen, or maybe not seen, during this time? What will be revealed to us when the sun comes up on our world as we return to more of a sense of normalcy? How will we grapple with inequities brought to light that show higher rates of death and contagion in communities of color and in poorer communities? What will we find about achievement gaps in education, already present but now exacerbated by the pandemic? What about those already living on the edge financially or with their physical or mental health? What has this exposed about our ability to care for the least of these in our society? In our own church, what will be the same? What will be different? What do we do next? Maybe we can do what the disciples did. They kept following. The disciples kept doing their part in the story that Jesus came to fulfill. And they were human through it all. They would witness miracles to be followed by unbelief. They would have great faith, and they would fall asleep. They would get to the point of giving up, of wondering what was it all for anyway. And then, a few mornings after that, they would see the risen Lord. The promise was fulfilled. The promise is fulfilled. We too can keep following. We can keep doing the practical, loving things, or as the AA world says, the next right thing. We can keep loving, caring for each other, working for justice, and being a community through it all. Our hope comes in the faith that God is present in the cloud and in the light of day. As we continue to follow Jesus, we are part of the ongoing story of Jesus' glory, of God bringing life from death. Thanks be to God. Amen.